Welcome to the official podcast of The Next CMO, hosted by Plana, makers of the first AI-driven marketing leadership platform for quickly and easily creating winning marketing plans, maximizing budget impact, and improving ROI. The Next CMO is a thought leadership podcast for those that are CMOs or want to become one. My name is Kelsey Kraft, and I'm the Senior Marketing Manager.
And I'm Peter Mahoney. I'm the founder and CEO of Plana, and welcome to The Next CMO podcast.
Wakefield, the SVP of Marketing at Ferrero. Mark is a strong leader in the B2C marketing space and has played an instrumental role in doubling the Ferrero brand. We're super excited to have you on the show, Mark. How's it going?
It's going great. How are you doing, Kelsey?
Doing well.
Yeah, so why don't you give us a little bit of background on you and in the company and some of the brands so you can sort of set some context for us, Mark. That would be great.
Yeah, so I started my career in a classic way as an assistant brand manager working on portfolio brands at Unilever. And I spent 17 years there. And I worked in a series of different roles, marketing, sales, brand management, trade marketing, calling on key account. And I even worked in the global head office there in London for 3 years. I came to really love international global marketing, big brands. And I was very excited about working in London because I got to travel all over the world, work in different regions, see lots of the parts of the world and get to know different cultures. And then I came back to Canada and I worked on the Dove campaign for Real Beauty. Launched Dove Hair Care and Dove Face Care and a number of other great initiatives. And then I came to Ferrero 13 years ago, first as the marketing director in Canada, working on the whole portfolio. And the last 6 years I've been working in our international global head office in Luxembourg. And I recently came back to North America to work in the U.S. on as the SVP of marketing on Nutella and our mainstream chocolate snacks, which are great beloved brands that have been in the history of America for many years. Crunch, Butterfinger, Baby Ruth, 100 grand.
Great. That's super exciting. And I'm a big fan of Luxembourg. So it's great that you're spent some time there. It's really beautiful. I got the chance to go there a couple of years ago with a friend who relocated there. There are a bunch of financial services is big in Luxembourg, obviously. And
yes.
I have a friend who's there and we got a chance to spend some time and really walk around the city, which is beautiful. So I imagine doing that kind of work and doing that kind of big brand marketing in a diverse environment like that must have been really fascinating. And so tell me about I did not know the connection to the Dove Real Beauty campaign. That's a really amazing one. If you have a second, it'd be great to just remind people what that campaign was, because it was really an amazing campaign that you all did.
Yeah, I think the Dove campaign for Real Beauty is absolutely outstanding. It was a great experience based on an insight that women are for too long been fed up with the stereotypes around beauty and made to feel less than what the beauty they are. And Dove's mission was to make more women feel beautiful every day by inspiring them to take great care of themselves. And through a lot of really deep consumer learning and insight work, we uncovered some great thoughts around it. And then we created we didn't really create a movement. We released it. It was there. And we enabled it, and we created a whole bunch of interesting content, probably the most successful viral film of all times in Dove Evolution. And that was at the start of the great acceleration of online video. And Google just bought YouTube like 2 weeks after we released it. It was so successful and wildly viewed that it broke the servers at Unilever.
Wow.
And it was a great campaign that continues. And I'm very proud of the fact that having released the movement, that it continues to this day. And And, you know, it just keeps getting stronger. I saw something fantastic that they did out of the Toronto office with the team there. Still a great team. They did this one that Real Beauty Can Be Brave, where they showed people who have been working in the COVID environment. And
I saw it. Yeah, really amazing work.
Really just spot on, perfect. Real Beauty Can Be Brave. And so I think I'm just so proud of the fact that, you know, if you build a great idea based on a terrific insight, that it will just endure. And that's really a big part of what I try to do in marketing is mine for insights, dig deep, really love the consumer and try to get to know them so well, almost better than they know themselves, and then find something interesting and compelling for them that intrigues, involves, and excites them. And that's what we're working on doing here at Ferrero, bringing joy and delight every day, making the world a sweeter place, and putting a smile on people's face. It's a little bit different, but the truths and the fundamentals and the success model can be the same.
Absolutely. And I was going to ask you about one thing related to this general concept that you're talking about, which is the idea of an enduring campaign. And if you look at where marketing has gone, I think that we as marketers have often gotten away from that. And some of it is, I think the marketing technology world broke it because they taught people incorrectly what a campaign was. So if you go onto, you know, Facebook or Google AdWords, it says enter your campaign name, where they mean a tiny little tactic that's going to happen for about 14 seconds. And obviously a campaign is something that it is meant to be an enduring thematic set of initiatives that help drive and move and deliver on your brand promise over in some case over decades. So it sounds like you're bringing that sort of big brand thinking from Unilever, where you spent a lot of time developing, obviously. So how do you think about building enduring campaigns? And then related to that, how do you manage them? Who's the owner of the campaign inside your organization?
So thank you for the question, Peter. I think it's an excellent one. And you're right. A lot of people confuse a tactic or an ad with an idea or a campaign. And everyone talks about a big idea, but sometimes they're often just talking about tactics. So the first and fundamental thing is to know the consumer, walk a mile in their shoes, and as I say, love them and really understand them. And that's key. But then you have to go and find a proposition that addresses their need, their insight, and elevates it to something that's interesting in their lives. And I often use the expression, no one ever walks out of the door in the morning and says, what I really want to see today is an ad for Butterfinger. So that just doesn't happen. In fact, they're spending most of their time trying to avoid what we have to say. And they've got busy house, busy kids, busy careers. And so we have to find something that engages them and makes it interesting and compelling in their lives. So I think the real thing also is it takes as long to do a big enduring idea as it does a small one, or conversely, it takes as much time to do a small idea as it does to do a big idea. And people will chase themselves around with tactics that change, and they could just invest the time and energy to get it right and make it endure. Coming to Ferrero, working on the Kinder brand in Canada, developed an idea which is called Have You Played Today? And it was kind of a subtle encouragement to say to parents, play with your kids. And in the craze of internet games and internet children watching more online video and internet, it was actually turning it on its head and saying parents want to give Kinder to their kids so that they can have a moment of shared joy. And that insight was that unlike any other product, you give it to the kid, they take it, they unwrap it, and then they hand it to you and say, will you help me make the toy? And that moment is precious. And so Have You Played Today meant, have you played with your kids today? And that's a campaign that lasted for 8 years. And you could just like run the ideas and the ads out, everything from billboards with balloons Then ads that were around new ideas, whether it's a new collection of toys or a moment around the year in a seasonal. So the idea that the most important thing in a parent's life is to play with their kids or spend time with their kids is something that's universal. And then the product has to connect and make a proposition that, again, is interesting and compelling. And the product is inextricably linked, as we say in marketing. If you take the product out, the ad collapses. And that's something that is also very fundamental, is we're not just selling a lifestyle. We're actually trying to make a connection where a product has a service and makes their life better. So we talk a lot about an enduring ideas, about having a point of view and having or an ideal. And I think that the ideal and the point of view needs to come through with a truth about your company, but also your product.
Yeah, it's interesting because there are a bunch of things that have to sort of brew in the stew or sort of make the cocktail to make this work. And you talked about really knowing, and I love the idea of loving your consumer, right? So beyond really knowing them and looking at them like you're doing an alien autopsy, it's more like really appreciating them, it sounds like. But then obviously really understanding, knowing your brand and knowing your products. And it's the combination of those things that's probably the magic.
Yeah, I think that brands are leaders. And like a leader, if you're going to send out a message, you're going to ask for people's attention, you're going to have something to tell them, you have to give them the hope, the optimism, the joy. And that's often, you know, people forget that you don't want to hold up a mirror to a consumer and say, we understand you, we have the insight, here it is in your face. Because often people say, okay, but so what's in it for me? And the thing is to actually hold up a window to a brighter future and to give them something that, you know, makes them feel good about themselves and makes them think differently about the world, or gives them an opportunity to embrace something new that might be a good thing. To give them, again, in the COVID reality, I don't want to show people that people are wearing masks in my advertising. I want to actually show them that you can have a moment of joy. You can have a moment of levity. You can have a little bit of excitement in your life and an emotional uplift because you can enjoy one of the great Ferrero products, like Crunch as an example. Very simple, 100% real milk chocolate and crispy rice. Everyone can love it, and it gives you a moment of joy.
I love that, and you just segued into my next question. How has your marketing strategy, you know, changed because of this pandemic?
Well, I think that it's really trying to love the consumer again, because they deserve it, and they want to be living in a world where they have aspiration and inspiration. And I'm not talking about trying to sell them a glamorous life and something that's untrue, but something that just gives them a little bit of a uplift. And again, if we're a leader, we have a voice, we spend money to communicate, we also have to give them something in return, which is a smile on their face or a sense of, we get you, we're with you. It can be better. And, you know, that's what Dove Campaign for Real Beauty was all about. We get you, but it can be better.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about how you might. So if you have a big, broad campaign like this, how do you think about measurement? So if you look at, I know we were chatting before the call and you were just making a presentation to your management team, probably talking about these kinds of things. Well, what are we going to do and what's it going to get me? But tell us a little bit about it when you're thinking in a long-term strategic campaign approach like that, how would you think through measurement for the campaigns?
Well, I think that, advertising works in strange and wonderful ways, and communication at every level is there to create something compelling and interesting. As I said, measurement has to have both a short-term and long-term perspective. And if you really want to build something that endures, you have to have the patience to nurture it, like a relationship with a family member, a friend, a colleague, or a child. And you have to build it over time. And so the measurement is, I think, attention is of the utmost importance. Are we breaking through? Are we catching people's eyes? Are we getting noticed and being interested? I have an expression which is get noticed or get nothing. And that's why attention comes first for a reason. And then you have to build it and say, okay, it always has to be branded attention. You need to know who's talking to you. But the measurement has to be, in the short term, low on share and high on breakthrough and interest and engagement. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it, there are so many other things that get in the way of people's decision, whether it's the situation you're in today, your shelving, your merchandising, your performance on the shelf, and your pricing. So we can't just say, well, we just turn it on and it, all of a sudden I start getting people to jump and drop what they're doing or throw out their current product and buy mine. So it's about attention and interest and branding and building the variables that will, as we talked about, endure so that the sales will come. You have to have all the other things as points of parity. You got to be competitive. You got to be strong, but you obviously have to have a great product that does a service to people. And then, I think the measurement of share gain, of equity gain, will come if you've done your homework on the insight and the idea.
Yeah, so I'm a big believer in what you're saying here, Mark, and I think the idea is that there need to be leading indicators that help validate your thesis. So your thesis is that if people engage in my message, in my creative, in my advertisement, and my media, whatever I'm creating for this particular thing, I can tell whether I'm creating a reaction or not. And then based on that reaction over a period of time, that ultimately is going to create a business result for me. But if you don't get the reaction, you're never going to get the business result. So you can't connect the dots that way. But you need those leading indicators. I like the idea that you're thinking strategically. And I think marketers often miss that. Some of it is because marketing is so measurable in some ways today. And people tend to measure what they can measure. So they look at the digital and say, oh, look at my, click rate, look at my view rate, et cetera. And maybe that's fine. But they need to have a thesis for what the ultimate business result is. And clearly you're thinking yours is share. So I want to get more share for my brand. And obviously those steps along the way. Now you have such a diverse set of brands. If you think of the brand personality between Butterfinger with, do you still run Bart Simpson ads?
Bart's over in the 90s. We're actually onto something quite exciting now called Butterfinger. Have you seen Butterfinger Investigators?
No, I haven't. Now I got to go check this out. I'm telling you now how old I am, I think, if I'm remembering ads from the 90s.
Yeah, well, we spend about 60% of our hard-earned dollars on TV, but the other 40% in digital. So you can check it out online, and got a series of gifts and things. But the whole Butterfinger Investigators is built on the same tagline, the same creative concept, which is Butterfinger's crispity, crunchity, peanut buttery deliciousness is so irresistible, you can't wait to get your hands on someone else's. And so you have a tension or a tug of war between a thief who is absolutely committed to stealing it and an owner who is passionate about protecting it. But the owner wins because the owner has the Butterfinger Investigators who foil the thief and get the Butterfinger back. And we have a great cast with Amir Arison and Natasha Bedingford. And they are the Butterfinger Investigators that help the consumer get their Butterfinger back. We're building on a kind of a playful individualist personality there, which is someone and a brand who is cuts its own path and is but marching to the beat of its own drum, and this individualist, self-directed type of person who wants that. And Butterfinger is the unique product, so we're attracting that type of consumer typology, type of mindset in our segmentation. And then in the case of Crunch, we've got a very different situation where we're trying to appeal to, we call these people who are sharers and people who want to have quality time shared with others, and they want to enjoy the moment and share in the experience. And we have a very different, playfully vibrant personality, but it's not irreverent. It's fun. It's lighthearted. Butterfinger's more irreverent and cheeky.
Yeah. Now, have you? I was going to ask you about how you think through digital in general, and it's really interesting that whole investigators thing. I almost felt like it was a digital experience in a game. Have you thought about building in sort of that kind of gamification into your brand?
Yeah, I mean, there's a great thing we've done promotionally around that, which is turn yourself in. So you go into Butterfinger Case Files, and the insight is that most parents, and we'll see this weekend, but we know it happens every year, so it's a universal truth that most parents, after the kids go to bed, they sneak some of the Halloween candy and they enjoy it themselves. So those parents can turn themselves in for a chance to win $25,000 if they have a good story telling around their case. And so that's kind of a gamification, but again, we're in a digital world and people are smart. They can ignore us. So we have to entertain them. We have to do something that they're going to say, wow, that's kind of fun. I want to check that out. We have a 4-minute video with the whole Butterfinger investigators, different episodic situations, whether it's in the home or in the office and people are stealing from you. You can get the Butterfinger investigators to help you out. Or if it's a Halloween, we've got a great new campaign that's going to break in 10 days on Crunch, which is all about giving a moment of joyful uplift and lighthearted humor around enjoying crunching, enjoying the product. But it's about being so interesting and connecting with people who can spend their hard-earned time and attention ignoring us. And that's the digital excitement, but also the challenge, because, you know, over-the-top subscription services and behind the paywall, the cord cutters. So I think, again, back to get noticed or get nothing, it's so important in today's environment to give people a bit of return on their time invested. We need to reward them with a smile or a little bit of a thought that things could be better, or something that would just give them a laugh in the moment. But that's the challenge is ever more. We can't just pour it on their head with marketing anymore. We have to engage them in a way that engages, excites, and intrigues them to make them want to be a part of what we have to say. And give them a bit of a joy on the return.
Yeah, well, that's great. And you were mentioning before, and I know we have to wrap up in just a minute here, but you mentioned before when we were chatting before we were recording here that you think very seasonally, and I thought it was fascinating sort of the way you name your seasons. So why don't you just share that with us briefly, because it's a great example of how you're thinking creatively through the different buying cycles from your consumers.
Well, I think that, people have drive times or show times or moments in their day and in their life when they reappraise things. And every season is an opportunity for people to reappraise and try something a bit different, whether it's the holiday season and I'm entertaining and I want to have something in the candy bowl, some Crunch or 100 Grand or Baby Ruth, or I'm having popcorn night and movie night and I want to have some Raisinets with my popcorn, which is a classic. But the concept of a season is a moment of togetherness, a moment of shared enjoyment. Usually, everyone celebrates the holiday Thanksgiving and Christmas. Children's are the focus of Easter. But we look at those seasons as opportunities to create a discontinuity and an engagement and a connection point. And every season has a little bit of an insight, and tends to be what we look for as well, is what's the insight of that pack or that moment? Because it can come right down to the different pack and offerings we make that can serve different needs within the season, and how we elaborate that. And one of the key things about Ferrero is we have such a focus on the seasons and how to animate them. If you look at our Rocher displays in the store, competition, and you know, my friends who are in the industry say, how do you guys do that? It's investment beyond reason. It's a belief that if we can catch the passing trade, if we can engage people with an excitement and a bit of that celebration moment, that they'll say, ah, yeah, I want that for my friend. I want that for my family, my mom, or even someone at work. So that's how we think of the season. Every season has insights. Every pack has an insight and an idea. And we try to elaborate those and bring those ideas and solutions to our retailers to grow the categories. They need our help. They need our ideas. They need our insight. And they need the excitement. And sometimes it can come not through changing the product, but just animating it in a different way and expressing it with a new insight and idea. And we look at seasons as key moments of opportunity for reappraisal.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, I mean, you talked earlier about just the importance of understanding the data and understanding the consumer. But obviously, as they go through their world and they go through different experiences and different seasons and different life events, obviously, they're, you know, it's the cross product of those things. That's who they are and where they are and when they are, whether they're in retail or they're somewhere else, understanding those things and adapting the message for that. So really fascinating. I know we have one really fast question that Kelsey will ask before we wrap up, but I really wanted to thank you for some great insights about how you think about marketing, about your consumers, how you engage them, how you think about campaigns, how you think about, especially, I love the idea of loving your consumer is really, really interesting. So thanks for sharing so much, Mark. This was great. But Kelsey, so why don't you help us wrap up here?
Thanks, Peter.
Got to ask you the favorite question of our podcast, which is, what advice would you give to those that are CMOs or aspiring to be one?
I think the biggest advice I give to people is it takes, you know, a village to raise a child, as they say, and surround yourself with really fantastic partners, really fantastic thought leaders who will challenge you, who will push you, but you can push as well. We have some great media partner with Mindshare. We have a great creative agency with Pyro and an activation agency with Channel. And you got to build a really, really strong collaboration with excellent partners externally, but also internally. And, you know, I have a team of 17 people in my direct brand team, but actually I have a whole company of brand ambassadors, from the people who are so passionate about the product in our R&D and in our production facilities, who take the great care to make sure the raw materials, the ingredients get transformed into a great product. Those people are passionate about the product. And then our trade marketing and sales organization, who are going out and putting their face in front of the consumer and the customer to deliver the product and make a great thing at retail. But the biggest thing I'd have for CMOs is, no one of us is as smart as all of us. Build your coalition, create your brand ambassadors, move together with your internal and external partners, and that's how you can change your business and change the world.
I absolutely great love advice. That. And I know we do have to wrap it up, but thank you so much for your time today, Mark. We really appreciate it. I'll be sure to stock up on some Butterfingers and some Crunch for Halloween season, but make sure to follow The Next CMO and Plana on Twitter and LinkedIn. And if you have any ideas for topics or guests, You can email us at thenextcmo@plana.com or visit our website and fill out the new podcast form. Stay tuned for the next community launching soon, and have a great day, everyone.
Thanks, Mark. Bye, Mark. Thanks, Kelsey.
Thank you, Kelsey. Thank you, Peter. Really enjoyed today. Have a great afternoon and weekend. Happy Halloween.